Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
All right, yesterday's show, I talked about this piece in the New York Times. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Find Your Place in the Vaccine Line. So what they did was the New York Times teamed up with some scientists and data crunchers and folks like that, and they developed this quiz, and you get to plug in your data and see where you would rank in line to be offered the vaccine. And it's basically, how old are you? What county do you live in? Do you work in these professions? Healthcare worker, essential worker, first responder, teacher, none of these. Mine's none. Do you have COVID-related health risks? No. And then you submit it. Mine was, I was 268 million in line to be offered the vaccine. I think I'm going to be offered until 2022 at that rate. And then in Cook County, 4.2 million others were ahead of me. So you go through it. It's interesting to see, because it reminds us that it's going to take a while for a lot of us to be offered it. Of course, if you think about vulnerable populations, healthcare workers, folks who are in nursing homes, staffers in those homes, the people who are prioritized. We have a link to this, I'm just told, on WGNradio.com. So if you want to see it, you want to fill it out, you can check it out that way and see where you might be, if you're curious, in the vaccine line. Behind the healthcare workers, nursing home, assisted living facilities, staffers, essential workers, first responders. There are a lot they're going to get it first, and then it's sort of everyone else. And where are you in the everyone else? If you're not one of those workers, you can find out. Let's find out more right now. Interesting opinion piece in USA Today this morning by MIT-trained pandemic expert Yanir Bar-Yam. This piece is basically talking about what the government needs to do to truly allow us to emerge from this pandemic. A fascinating piece, and I want to thank you, Yanir, for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us why you wrote this, what compelled you to say, hey, I have got to write this opinion piece and let everyone know. We can talk about the substance of it, but I just want to know what kind of motivated you to put this out there.
Well, so there are two levels. One is that right now we need action, and it's obvious in Chicago, right? You're already 3 weeks into the new stay-at-home orders, whatever you want to call it, kind of lockdown. And it's helping, right? We're down by a little bit over a factor of two in Chicago. But the main thing is that we can't wait. As you just pointed out before we came on, the time until the vaccine will roll out to a large population is maybe 6 months to 12 months. That's if everything goes well. And there are obviously lots of obstacles that may arise in the meantime. So the point is that we don't really want to be doing this for a long time. Much of the rest of the country is, of course, in crisis mode with hospitals overflowing. So the first thing to realize is that there are actions that can and should be done immediately by the incoming administration. They don't have to wait until January. And much of it, this is based upon something that's very clear if you think about it, which is that the real action is not an action by the government or by the hospitals or by the doctors. The real action in the context of an outbreak is actions by the community. It's what everyone does. And we've been talking about this, right? Everyone talks about how you need to do the social distancing and wear masks and so on. But if you really put your you know, think about it, most of what needs to be done is and has to be done by the community. One person can't do it, but the community together can do a lot.
I want to get to your list.
You support it, yeah.
Yanir, can we pause just for a second here? I want to get to your list, because you actually put together a list of the things that need to be done to help us emerge from all of this, and it's a very interesting list. One of the points here is that I feel like government is not necessarily known for moving quickly on most things, and certainly not quickly and efficiently at most things. We don't see a lot of examples of that. And yet right now, that is more important than ever. And so you're sort of laying it out.
Yeah, we have to do a bunch of things. And the first thing on the list is that we already should be having a daily briefing by the incoming administration about what's going on, right? This is a space that is not being occupied by the outgoing administration, and we really need that to be happening now. And what should be happening is that they should be talking about what's happening and starting to establish a goal and how we're going to get there. Because you said the government is not good at acting quickly, but they're also not really good at like setting goals and actually executing on the goal, on the mission. And business people know that, know how to do that, and other organizations know how to do that. Government is not usually doing that. So that's part of it. Each of the other items on our list is about engaging with other specific communities, that can help. And again, since this is not being done really by the government, what's needed is for them to engage with different communities. And so the second group is the governors and the mayors, and to have them set, do the right things in terms of supporting individuals and communities and businesses logistically and financially, meaning giving everyone the ability to act in this context and also to be able to protect themselves, right? So financially, people need support. There are many other ways that people may need support, whether it's, housing security or food security or all kinds of things. The people who can help should be helping. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need, the government at different levels, to step up and to help with.
Yanir, before you get to the third, can I stop you there? Because we just have to pause for a moment. And if you'd hang on with us, we'll pick it up on the other side. Yanir Bar-Yam is an MIT pandemic expert. He actually was one of the folks that helped advise Australia on their COVID strategy, and they're doing very well right now. Lots more to talk about with Yanir coming up here on WGN.
Hi, Chicago. Everybody knows there are things in life that make total sense, like switching to GEICO. They offer 24/7 access to licensed agents and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Other things make no sense, like erasers that don't erase and only smudge. Whoever is making these erasers should call them what they are, smudgers.
However, it makes total sense to bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. You could save a lot, and they can insure your motorcycle, boat, and RV. GEICO also has discounts for military and federal employees.
Busy talkers, however, make no sense. If you're so busy, why do you spend so much time telling me about it?
On the other hand, it still makes total sense to switch to GEICO. They have an industry-leading mobile app you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver. They even have local agents you can meet face-to-face.
Conversely, the length of drugstore receipts makes no sense. I came for aspirin and left with roughly 6 feet of paper. Maybe I'll start my novel.
So, Chicago, it makes sense to switch to GEICO. Online, over the phone, or with your local agent.
It may seem a little nutty to start a new business at 86, but people are going nuts for her special recipe, Chicago's very own. Tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
219. People are asking, where do I take that quiz to find my place in the vaccine line? We have a link to it on WGNradio.com. You can go there, link you right to it. It's a real short quiz. It takes a couple minutes. It's just interesting. It's a well-researched article, and it's interesting to see the prioritization of the rollout of the vaccine. So check it out if you want to. Hey, listen to this. Chicago-based publisher Loyola Press is expanding its multimedia products with a groundbreaking video game called Wanderlight, A Pilgrim's Adventure. It's a highly immersive game experience where players travel through quest-filled realms to explore, pray, and learn key aspects of the Catholic faith. Wanderlite can be played on computers and tablets. Kids love it. It makes the perfect Christmas gift for your child or grandchild. Go to wanderlightgame.com. That's wanderlightgame.com. Use promo code WGN Radio and you'll get 10% off when you purchase from Loyola Press. Our guest is Yanir Bar-Yam. He is a pandemic expert, a physicist, mathematician who recommended policies, community actions for the successful battle in West Africa against Ebola. He also advised Australia in their COVID strategy. How's Australia doing now, Yanir?
They're COVID-free, basically, except for a few small embers that have been put out. Everybody there across the country is behaving like normal, really. And I mean, they have multiple states and they've defeated an outbreak in a particular state that happened after most of the country was free of the disease. I think the biggest message that we need to learn from the successful countries is that we don't have to live with this disease. The whole strategy that we're using, the way we're going about it, is basically assuming that it's going to be around, and we're trying to balance, you know, how much restrictions we can take with what's going on with the disease. But that's really not actually the best approach. The best approach is to say, let's get rid of it. Chicago is down by a little bit more than a half of what it was at its peak when the recent stay-at-home order started. And that's great, but that's a slow change, because we're not doing everything that we could do to stop it. If we did everything that we could do to stop it, you know, we would be down by now by a factor of 10, and if we did it well, we could even be down by a factor of 100. So right now we're at about 1,000 cases per day. If we really went all out, we could be down to around 10 cases per day in Chicago within a month.
Okay, wait a minute. So I'm hearing that, and that sounds great. Let's get rid of it. Let's do everything we can to stop it. Let's bring the cases down to that number you're talking about. But how? How do you do it?
How? And the answer is we already know we have to stay away from people. But in order to stay away from people, the way to do it is to shut everything down that isn't essential. And we know that that works. We've done it before, but we have to kind of go all out with it. And we have to think clearly, right? The businesses that are staying open, they have to work hard to protect their customers, their workers. They really have to work hard on making sure that it's safe. And it turns out that everything that you do in order to get to zero or to get to close to zero, the 10 cases that we could be at a month, is really just about protecting people. And so if you do everything that you can and you know to protect people, and so part of that is the prevention part, and the other part of it is the intensity of how you find people who are infected. We have to make sure that everybody that's infected is identified. If they have symptoms, they're tested quickly, they're isolated quickly, and they're not going to infect their families if we set them up in hotels. And again, we have to have supported isolation for people to be cared for. There, unfortunately, things happen like, you know, someone gets tested, they even get tested negative because the tests are not always reliable. And I just heard about this a couple of days ago, and then someone just died within 48 hours because the disease accelerates suddenly and people don't even have time to react. So it's really important to have people be in a place where they can be taken care of if something happens. So a supported isolation and supported quarantines for people who are suspected. So this person wouldn't have been isolated because they didn't know that she had the disease, but she should have been in quarantine and she should have been protected from something going wrong. Mm-hmm. So the basic idea is if you take care of people the right way, if we care about each other, and the first people that should be caring about each other are the members of the community. And you mentioned that I worked in Africa, and I come at this from a mathematics, because I studied this mathematically. But eventually, what you really find out is that it's really about communities taking care of themselves that matters in a pandemic. And so What we need is the community leaders, the natural leaders of the community, not necessarily the elected officials, but surely the people who know other people and the natural community organizers to reach out to everybody that they know and to say, look, this is our problem. It's not the government's problem. It's not somebody else's problem. It's not surely not the hospital's problem to stop the community transmission. They should be working with us on this. We can ask them for help, but we have to take the first responsibility to say, we want to get rid of this. Mm-hmm. And there was a village in Italy that was surrounded by the flames of this disease early on in the first surge. And they simply said to each other, we're going to get rid of this. And they got rid of it within a short period of time.
What's a short period of time, though? Because we only have a minute left, so that is a short period of time to answer this. But I think one of the issues here is there's sort of this risk benefit analysis where shut everything down can sound great from a health perspective, and then the economic and the mental part of the dealing with a lockdown where you can't leave the house, and you know they've ticketed people in some countries for leaving your even just leaving your apartment, that kind of thing can be difficult.
This is why we need people to help each other. It's either mutual aid or it's the government stepping in to help. But the point is that if it's a short period of time, if it's only a month, if it's only a month and a half, it's not that much time. If it lasts for months and months, we've been in this, what, for 10 months, maybe more? If it takes a long time, then the financial hurt, the psychological hurt, the social pains that we're in because we can't be with our families, we can't be with other ones, other people that we want to be with, that hurts a lot. But if we only have to do it for 4 to 6 weeks, and then we can, you know, work on the process of getting back to normal. And I would like to talk about it. Maybe you can have me back sometime.
Yeah.
There's a really outstanding strategy, which is called the Green Zone Strategy, where basically by the time you've done this for even a few weeks, there are areas that are without the disease. So what you do is you protect them, and then you open up to normal. And it changes everything. This is what was done in Australia, New Zealand, and Taiwan, and so on. Everyone protects areas, and then they can open up to normal, so it doesn't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's part of the country or some other part of the city that still has some work to do, you don't have to wait for them.
Yanir, we're out of time, but there's so much more to talk about. If people would like to take a look at your work and what it is you're doing, you have published extensively, and where would you direct us if we wanted to check it out?
So there's a new website called the COVIDActionGroup.net. COVIDActionGroup.net is a new website where we have for this new group that is going to be providing advice to the government and to policymakers. We also have an organization called EndCoronavirus, endcoronavirus.org. And that has a lot of information on it. It's been working since February of this year. Please, if you want to participate, if you want to work with your community on galvanizing the community, we're open for helping. We're working with multiple communities around the country and around the world, and we just want to help everyone to get rid of this disease.
I hear you, Yanir. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Have a good weekend. I appreciate it.
You too.